Today I would like you to turn in your Bible to 2 Corinthians chapter 9. 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 15 will be my text. Verse 15 of 2 Corinthians chapter 9 says, "Thanks be unto God for His unspeakable gift." Now in this chapter from which my text is taken, Paul is stirring up the believers at Corinth to be ready to give generously to the poor believers in Jerusalem. He motivates them to give generously, not by the whip of the law, not by fear of punishment, not by promise of reward, but rather out of love for Christ Himself. He says in chapter 5, verse 14, "The love of Christ constraineth us." Nothing can so excite God's people to give freely to Him as the remembrance of what God has freely given for us. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9, across the page says, "For we know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though He was rich, yet for your sakes He became poor, that you through His poverty might be rich." Our Lord said in Matthew 10, verse 8, "Freely have you received, freely give." My friend, the gospel of Jesus Christ is founded upon giving. Buying and selling are unknown in spiritual things. Payment is for the law. Under the gospel, everything is free. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 says, "We have not received the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we may know the things that are freely given to us of God." The gospel is free, my friend. Everything under the gospel is free. Let me give you some examples. God gave His well-beloved Son. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Jesus Christ gave His life a ransom for sin. He said, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth His life for the sheep." Salvation is freely given. Romans 3:24 says, "Justified freely by His grace." All spiritual blessings are freely bestowed. Romans 8:32 declares, "He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things?" In Revelation 22, we are encouraged to take the water of life freely. You can easily count the value of the gifts we give. They're small, aren't they? But you cannot even begin to estimate the value of the great price of Jesus Christ crucified. He gave everything. He gave His life. He gave all. That's why we say with the apostle, "Thanks be unto God for His unspeakable gift, indescribable, inconceivable, infinite, unsearchable riches of Christ." This is truly an unspeakable gift. Now, I've got 3 points in my message today. Let me give them to you. Salvation is altogether a gift. Secondly, this gift is unspeakable. And thirdly, this gift causes us to praise and to give thanks to God. Now, let's look at the first point. Salvation is altogether a gift of God. A gift of God. Over and over again in the Scriptures, the Bible plainly declares that salvation is totally of grace, not of works, lest any man should boast. You know the Scripture, Ephesians 2:8-9, "For by grace are we saved, through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." By grace, through faith, are you saved, and that not of yourself. Listen to it. It's the gift of God, lest any man should boast. Salvation is sovereignly bestowed, is the sovereignly bestowed gift to undeserving sinners. God saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ before the world began. Salvation is altogether a gift of God's grace, a gift of God's mercy and love. The essence of salvation is Christ, Jesus Christ. He is salvation. Jesus Christ became the sinner's substitute. He took humanity to Himself. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. He worked out righteousness for His people. He honored the law. He suffered and died for the sin of God's elect. He bare our sin in His own body on the tree. He ascended to glory to justify and to intercede for His people. Now listen to me carefully. The idea is inconceivable and totally absurd to think that any sinner deserved or merited such a glorious sacrifice as Jesus Christ crucified. Therefore, we conclude that since Christ died for the ungodly, it's not possible for any to put himself in a position of deserving or meriting that sacrifice. Therefore, it must be the gift of God. Christ does not come to us because we deserve him. It is a free, sovereign, glorious gift to undeserving, guilty sinners. He is the unspeakable gift of God. The wages of sin is death. The gift of God is eternal life. This unspeakable gift, my friend, is received by faith. Now we know this gift's all of grace, but this gift is received by the sinner, not by works, but by faith. Four times in the Bible, God declares the just shall live by faith. The just shall live by faith. Romans 5:1 says, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Faith is the God-ordained means to receive this gift of his love and grace, which is in Christ. Salvation is to be received by believing, not by working, not by doing. Faith never takes any glory to itself because faith is not a virtue of the flesh. Faith is given of God. Hebrews 12 declares he's the author and finisher of faith. And we know that the Lord Jesus Christ is the object of faith. Faith glorifies God. Therefore, it says in Romans 4:16, it is of faith that it might be by grace. Abraham was strong in faith, giving glory to God. Faith glorifies God, and faith never boasts in itself because it's the gift of God. Now, consider some of the blessings of this gift. Consider some of the blessings of this gift. It's a gift of his grace. It's received by faith. Now, consider some of the blessings. We have forgiveness of sin according to the riches of his grace through Christ. We're justified in Christ freely by his grace, justified by his blood. We've been made sons of God, adopted into his family, and accepted into beloved. Now, let me ask you, do you deserve such blessings? Do you? Could you merit such blessings? No, it's impossible. No believer is ever deluded to believe that he deserves mercy or deserves grace. Salvation, my friend, is the gift of God. It's an unspeakable gift. All of grace in Christ received by faith, and we have glorious blessings upon which we do not deserve. They're freely given for Christ's sake. Now, here's my second point. This gift is unspeakable. Unspeakable. Now, this does not mean that we cannot speak about this gift. This gift is Christ. It simply means that Jesus Christ is so glorious, so awesome, so infinite that we can never exhaust the subject of his riches. He is unsearchable. We've been preaching, the Church of God has been preaching about the Lord Jesus Christ for thousands and thousands of years, and we have never exhausted the subject. Because he is the unspeakable gift of God. He is gloriously unspeakable in his person. Who is Jesus Christ? He's perfect man and yet glorious God. That's why Paul said, without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. Unto us a child is born, but a son is given. His name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father. It's not possible to put in human language the glory of his divine person. He's unspeakable. He's fully and totally man, yet totally an infinite holy God. The second thing we know about him, Christ is unspeakable in his person, and he is unspeakable in his condescension. He took upon himself the form of a servant, made in the likeness of men, and became obedient to death, even the death of the cross. The infinite God became an infant of a day old. He who gave the law became obedient to it and died under it, under its curse. He who made woman was born of a woman. The Son of the Highest had nowhere to lay his head. He created all things. He created the very tree upon which he was crucified. You see his condescension to be our substitute, to die in our room and in our stead. the glory of his humanity, the Lord of glory in his humanity, thirsting for a cup of water. He wearied in body, he thirsted, he hungered. He was a real man. Such a Savior, my friend, this is an unspeakable gift of God when we consider who he is and where he was and what he became for us and where he died among sinners. Christ is unspeakable not only in his person, in his condescension to be our substitute, but Christ is unspeakable in his substitutionary death. Now it's unspeakable and even almost unthinkable to think and to speak about his sorrow and grief as he died in his agonies upon the cross, dying for the undeserving. All the physical horrifying pain he endured for his elect is unspeakable. Isaiah 52:14 speaks of him as his visage, his image being so marred he was brutally beaten of men. But his soul agony being made sin for us, having the sin of God's people laid on him, his spiritual soul agony, he died in our room and in our stead. Listen to this scripture, 2 Corinthians 5:21. God made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. My friend, this is the unspeakable, substitutionary, satisfying death of the Lord Jesus Christ, bearing the wrath of God on behalf of God's people. He cried from the cross, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Because he was made sin for us. He was made the scapegoat for God's elect, God's sheep. My friend, this is God's gift, divine and glorious, unspeakable gift of God. Inexhaustible, we can talk about the glorious atonement of the Lord Jesus Christ from now on until he returns again. It's an unspeakable who he is and what he did and why he died. My friend, Christ is also unspeakable in his resurrection glory, his ascension to the Father. When he had by himself purged our sins, he sat down at God's right hand. My friend, these are the unspeakable gifts of God in his person, who he is, God Almighty, and yet a real man, bone of our bone and flesh of our flesh. He condescended to be our substitute, our mediator, our atonement, our representative to die in our room and in our stead. It's a glorious death he died. And my friend, his resurrection glory. He sat down at God's right hand. Why did he sit down? Because he finished the work God gave him to do. He glorified God in securing the everlasting salvation of God's people. He's able to save to the uttermost all that come to God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for us. So we say with the Apostle Paul, this salvation is a gift of God. It's all of grace. Secondly, this salvation is an unspeakable gift because it's Christ who is salvation. And lastly, it leads the believer to say, thanks be unto God for this unspeakable gift. Thanks be unto God. The psalmist said, not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but unto thy name give glory for thy mercy and for thy truth's sake. In everything we give thanks to God, but especially when we consider his glorious gift to us. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be a propitiation, a mercy seat, an atonement, a covering for the sin of God's people. My friend, we ought to express this with thank. We ought to express this being thankful unto God often. Express this thankfulness unto God often, praising God in our hearts, which is never out of season. Every time we think of God, read his word, hear his gospel, we ought to praise God for his grace and mercy. We should always praise that God is never out of season. We should always be instant in season and out of season to praise God for his glorious, unspeakable gift. I say this, Lord, help me. Help us to cultivate this spirit of praise. And thanks be to God for this unspeakable gift of his love, his mercy, and his grace revealed to sinners in Christ. If you would like a copy of today's message, you write to me, and I'll see that you get it at free of charge, absolutely free. Here's my address, 6088 Zebulon Highway, Pikeville, Kentucky,